Well, hey there, Jonathan Dahl with you for the weekly podcast. Welcome aboard. I know I say it every time, but there is some gold in here. I've got a whole bunch of really good stuff I want to take you through. Welcome aboard if you're a new listener. Welcome back if you're a regular. If you are a regular, you know that we don't spend the start of the podcast talking about the weather. We rip straight in. And I've got some exciting news. Yesterday, I bought myself a brand new Harley Davidson. Brand new, on the showroom floor. I'm picking it up tomorrow. Very excited. Now, before you all start accusing me of a midlife crisis, it's Karen and I used to ride bikes a lot together when we were newly married, and it was a great part of our story early in our marriage. And, you know, life got in the way and got busy, and then we've had kids, and they're still young, but really wanted to just start to invest back in time with Karen and time with the kids. So went out, did a lot of test rides, finally made a decision, and really stoked. I'll try and post some photos on social media. You can, and I'll post, hopefully remember to post one underneath the podcast here. But I wanted to share with you because, you know, I just want to encourage you that you, whatever your dreams are, you can make this stuff happen. Like, when I was test riding the Harley, I was like, riding down the highway, and I'm like, holy crap, I'm like, this is actually happening. I'm doing this. I'm actually able, in a position where I can, you know, invest this money in something that's really important to me, into the relationships that matter to me, and, you know, just having that experience. And so I want you to know that this whole field of personal development, of having clarity on your goals, of having a plan, of hustling, of working on yourself, it really does work. It takes time, and it takes changes. But tomorrow when I pick that Harley up, you know, you can just be assured that this stuff does work. If you work the system, if you work the insights, and you just keep pressing on, and a whole bunch of times it'll be exhausting and it'll feel like nothing's happening, but then things do happen. So, you know, you can really have the life that you want to have. And I hope in some way that all the podcasts and all the stuff that I do will help you with that. But I just wanted to share with you, I'm really stoked. I'll shoot some videos of it and just share that journey with you. But really excited about that. The other thing is that next week, I'm taking the whole family to the United States. We're going to have a big trip over there. I've got a speaking engagement in Los Angeles, and then we're going to have, you know, Disneyland and Universal Studios, and we're going to do a lot of traveling. And then I come home for a few days, and I fly back to Dallas, and then on to Florida and Palm Beach for more speaking. So, again, taking my kids to Disneyland is like, how cool is that? Like, you know, some of you might have done that, but this is new for us, and definitely taking three young kids on a 14-hour long-haul flight is going to be interesting, especially my kids. But, you know, it's exciting, and I want you to know that these dreams, you know, of travel and of giving your kids experiences and having experiences yourself, they're really possible. You know, yes, I've worked hard and all that stuff, but you know, I always knew that I wanted to have this kind of life, and I want to encourage you, whatever your dreams are, whatever your goals are, there are no, like, yes, we're all different, but we are all capable of creating what we want. You know, we often make this terrible mistake of thinking that some people are just smarter or better looking or more talented. And as I always say, you know, like, there's people that have got incredible talents that don't use them, and there are people that are not super talented, that just hustle. So no matter where you're at right now, whatever it is that you want, you know, God gives us these dreams, and there are things that excite you, right? It's probably not a Harley Davidson. It may not be going to Disneyland. But what are your dreams? You know, think about that for a second. What is it that really excites you, that means something to you? Don't you find it interesting that with like 8 billion people on the planet, that each of us has these individual goals and dreams? So I'm just a voice today in your life, hopefully, telling you, as distant or remote as your goals and dreams may be, you might want to lose 10 kilos, you might want to get a promotion, you might want to drive a different car, you might want to buy a new house. Whatever those dreams are, you might want a better relationship, deeper spirituality. I just want to be that voice of encouragement today that tells you that it can happen, because it's happening for me tomorrow with the Harley and then next week for the US. So be encouraged, okay? Wherever you're at right now, be encouraged. So let's rip into the podcast too. Really cool principles today. There is a lot of meat in here, and I want to share some experiences with you. The first thing I want to do is talk to you about the difference or the skill set of mastering the difference between objective reality and how we think about objective reality. So let's take some time to flesh this out. So I want you to just concentrate. You might want to listen to this, as I often say, a couple of times, but let me step you through this. Now, one of the principles of personal development and personal growth is just how crucial our thinking is. Now, critics will go on about, you know, positive thinking, and I'm just going to, you know, pretend nothing bad is happening. But, you know, this ability to actually choose, and there's that keyword, how we actually choose how we think about what happens to us is incredibly powerful. The first thing that happens to most people is that most people gravitate to victim status almost straight away. So something's unpleasant in your life, something you don't want to have happen. And a natural default mechanism is a kind of, you know, pessimistic victim thing, like, oh, it's terrible and this has happened to us and we can't do anything about it. And I'm putting my hand up and saying that is my default response for my whole life. Now, the great irony of my life is that I work in this motivational space, but I have struggled much of my life, you know, especially, you know, years ago with being a depressive sort of person. My natural default is negativity and depressive thinking. It just is. And people go, dude, are you serious? Like, you're the most pumped guy I know. I go, absolutely, but let me be vulnerable with you. I've had to work incredibly hard, and I'm still working incredibly hard to change that default setting and to be a more positive person in the world. So what happens is things happen, and we immediately go to like victim status, like we're the victim of circumstance, and that is not productive, right? Because once you're in that space, once your physiology, your breathing patterns, your thinking, your mental pictures go to a depressive state, you're not going to find the solutions you want. Now, so the next critique is, well, there's objective reality, right? There's the things that happen, Jonathan. It doesn't matter what happens. Like, if you, gravity is an objective reality. Now, you can want to think that gravity's not real. So the example people often give is you can stand on the edge of a building and say, I don't care about this gravity thing. I choose to believe that it's not real, and jump off the building. And you may want to fly, and you may have mental pictures and images about flying, but that ain't going to help you once you step off, right? So I'm the first to say there are objective truths like gravity and there are fixed things happening in the universe. But what is not fixed is so many of the other things that happen to us, things people say, events that happen to us, losing a job, downturns in the economy, putting on weight, a relationship ending. All these different things have perspectives, don't they? I mean, you know, you could have all sorts of different reasons or explanations for why things happen to you. And what I'm trying to get to in this podcast, I hope I do it justice, is this realization that we have incredible capacity to actually think differently about what's happening to us. And it's a discipline and it's a skill. And I have got to work, I reckon, harder than just about anyone I know to perfect this skill. Now, I want to give you a really good example because I really want to tell you how real my life is. Yesterday, for the first time in a long time, I got really stressed out. I just had so much coming at me. In previous podcasts, I've talked about how we've evolved to scan our environments for threats because that's what we did in caveman times. But now we have all these things like emails and text messages and meetings and calls and relationships and all this stuff happening at once. And we begin to just get overwhelmed by all that stimuli coming at us. And I got very stressed. And it was a tough sort of few hours. And then late in the day, I suddenly kind of just stood in my office and I went, you know, this ain't going to change. Like, the life that I've chosen and that I live is these things are going to keep happening to me. I'm going to, you know, if I want to buy a new Harley, if I want to go to the States, and if I want to touch people's lives and do all this stuff, my life's going to be relatively complex. There's going to be a lot coming at me. And then I thought, well, there must be people around the world that do this and don't get stressed out. So what is the possible difference between me and them at this moment? And I realized that the only difference can be how I'm thinking about it. You know, the language that I'm using in my mind, the mental pictures. And I began to go, you know, this is going to be okay. And I'm going to come through this and I'm going to begin to think about it differently. And there's more to it. Like, I began to realize just how much I need to trust more. Now, wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, you know, it might be just trusting God more, letting go more, but I began to just go, stop carrying all this. Just think about it differently. Just trust. Just let it go. And that's very hard for me to do. But I began to do that. So what I'm pitching here, and this is such a, it's such a deep topic that it's I hope I'm shaping it well enough for you to understand. At its simplest level, it's saying that, you know, Tony Robbins used to say that nothing in life has any meaning except the meaning you give it. That's not quite true because we talked about objective reality like gravity. But the meaning that you give to things, the language that you use to describe it, the way that you process it, you have that power. I have that power. I have to choose differently. And it's really hard because once you're used to your existing pattern of victimhood or blaming or freaking out or stressing out, it's very hard for your central nervous system and your thinking and your cognitive behavior to start to shift. But it is possible. So you've got to begin these steps around language and meaning and talking to yourself differently about what's happening. And you'll feel a bit crazy and you'll feel like, oh, this is just ridiculous and this is just positive thinking, but it does work. So my next few days, like, I have such a busy life. Like, you know, I've all this stuff happening next few days, like really complex stuff with, you know, online platforms that we run and business and travel and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, you can do this. The resources are there. You're going to figure it out. You're going to be okay. Just keep focusing on serving people, stay on your purpose, and everything's going to work out. So I just want to give you that. I hope I'm doing it justice. It's not what's happening to you that is the source of your stress, your depression, your anxiety. It's how you're framing it to yourself. How you're, you know, and this will rattle some people, because once you begin to do that, you've got to take a new responsibility for your life. See, victimhood and blaming is incredibly powerful and convenient, because then the problem is outside of you, isn't it? You know, you've got, if your boss has done this, or your spouse, or your boyfriend, or girlfriend, or your friends have done this to you, then you're the victim. But the minute you begin to go, no, I'm not. I'm responsible for how I'm thinking and responding. And I'm responsible for the language that I'm using. And I, you know, there is a best self, what I call a best self. I have a best self. The best self is who I am when I'm coaching people or when I'm doing this podcast. I feel so alive and I feel so like I'm contributing. And then there's this other self, and it's the one that I grew up with. It's the depressive, blaming, you know, victim child that I don't want to be anymore. And closing that gap and saying goodbye to that person is really powerful work. So wherever you're at in your life, how about you stop blaming? How about you stop giving power away to other people and begin to look at the language and the thinking that's framing your experience? Yes, I know bad things happen. What if someone has cancer? What if this happens? Well, there's plenty of stories of people who go through incredible suffering. I remember one US professor, and I'm trying to, like, if I can remember the YouTube, he was given a few months to live and he gave his final lecture. And he was a man who was dying in the prime of his life. And he gave this incredible lecture to all his students and the faculty and people, you know, sobbing and crying as he shared his heart and his wisdom for life. So, yes, he was suffering, but he was thinking about his suffering from a paradigm of contribution and love. So even in the darkest experiences, you know, I've got a friend at the moment, and you know who you are because you listen to these podcasts, who's just been through a really bad accident and whose dreams are on the line. And I'm just humbled again. I mentioned this in the last podcast, by his courage and his capacity to keep thinking and choosing to chase his dreams. So really, is there any circumstance in life where we can't choose an empowering meaning, a positive meaning to what's happening? All right. So that's, there's a lot to that, huh? There is a lot. So listen to it again. And it's just hard. I just wish it was simpler. I just wish, you know, that life just was easier, but it's not. Like, the cost of having a passionate, powerful, alive life full of contribution is stepping up into this hard work. You know, positive thinking, the magical pixie fairy dust where you just go, I think I'm getting better every day, doesn't work. What works is looking at your pain and your wounds and your negative critical thinking and changing it day by day. So I want to encourage you, it's moment by moment, it's hour by hour, it's journaling, it's writing it down, it's catching yourself in the moment where you externalize your power to someone else, pulling it back and going, no, I'm choosing a different meaning. I'm going to speak differently. I'm going to handle the reality that's coming at me in a different way. All right, so that's part one. Listen to that again. Listen to that again. I want you to get it into your DNA. Now, the second thing I wanted to talk about is I've been a big fan of a cool book I came across recently by Jesse Itzler. It's I'll put a link to it under this podcast. It's just a really interesting book. Jesse's like a real hustler, go-getter, you know, lives in New York, created all these amazing businesses, married an amazing businesswoman. So living that whole US entrepreneurial life, and I just love that stuff. I love their hustle and their self-belief and their kind of creativity. But anyway, he's a distance runner and he goes to this event and he ends up seeing this retired US Navy SEAL who's like this amazing guy. Jesse basically makes contact with him, invites him to come and live with his family in an apartment in Manhattan and train him for a month. And the book is just really well written. It's very accessible, funny, and, you know, just a great read. But it just talks about all these different experiences they go through and the mindsets. But what really struck me was this great line at the end. So this is the important stuff. And I posted this on Instagram. And if you're not following me on Instagram, follow me on Instagram. It's Jonathan_Doyle.co. Jonathan_Doyle.co. Come to Instagram because I post all this stuff there. this quote that I put there from the book goes like this. Here it is. You only get one shot at life. You should find out what's in the reserve tank. You only get one shot at life. You should find out what's in the reserve tank. I love that. I've been living that in one way or another for several years. Honestly, for much of my life, I've always loved that push when you really got to grind it out. And I just love that idea. What's in the reserve tank? And, you know, last week it was New Year's Eve. I got up and I jumped on the bike and I did 200 kilometers on the bike with some friends. And I just felt $1 million. I felt it was such a wonderful experience of friendship and striving and pushing and training hard. And I'm like, man, what's in the tank? Like, what could I do? And we had some friends for dinner last night, and I was at them too. I was going, man, most people just live just, you know, in neutral, let alone pushing the gears and finding and emptying the tank. You know, just, I've shared before, I listened to this great preacher once years ago. He had a message called Live Full, Die Empty. I always love that. Live full, die empty. This is a real passion for me. The reserve tank. Do you want to get to the end of your life wondering what was you could have possibly done? So I'm really on this. I'm really interested in the reserve tank, in stretching yourself and pushing yourself into environments that stretch that reserve tank. And I want to give you another quote. Now, Jesse Itzler is a 21st century entrepreneurial hustler in Manhattan. But let me give you a quote from William James. This is over 100 years old. Now, William James is what we call the father of modern psychology. So this is somebody who framed our very earliest understanding of the human mind. Listen to this great quote. It's almost 100 years old. Beyond the very extremes of fatigue and distress, we may find amounts of ease and power we never dreamed ourselves to own. Sources of strength never taxed at all because we never pushed through the obstruction. Okay, one more time. Listen to it again. Beyond the very extremes of fatigue and distress, we may find amounts of ease and power we never dreamed ourselves to own. Sources of strength never taxed at all because we never push through the obstruction. Okay? He's basically saying, a bit like Jesse Itzler, that it's once we crash through that point of resistance and we go to the reserves that we find the magic. Now, a couple of points. You don't do this every day. If you do it every day, you burn out. And I learned that the very hard way. Burning out, depression, anxiety, freaking out. Took me 10 years to climb out of that hole. But you can regularly push beyond that point of fatigue and distress to where the magic is in the reserve tank. How do you do it? Now, in my book, I wrote a chapter about it. In my book, I wrote a chapter about, you know, threshold experiences, pushing beyond what you're capable of. And how you do it is by finding groups of people or environments that force you to do it. It's very rare to do this on your own, because if you try and do it on your own, you'll be relying on willpower. The trick is to either construct or to access environments where it's already happening. So people who are operating at a much higher level than you, people who are training harder than you, people who are more, you know, basically academically brilliant than you, or, you know, more artistic than you, getting yourself in those circumstances where you're stretched, where you're pushed. So what's in your reserve tank? That's my question. How are you living day to day? I mean, I got up this morning, I'm not bragging, but I smashed out 200 push-ups. I'll train on the bike. I'll make time for spirituality. I'll make time for the kids. I'll hustle in the business. So each day, I don't have trouble falling asleep. My days are very full because I'm in a season of productivity and I want to know what's in the reserve tank. And I want you to know what's in your reserve tank. What's in it? Are you cruising? Are you sitting in neutral? How much longer do you want to do that? What's your diet like? What shapes your physique at the moment? Are you in the place you want to be? What are your relationships like? What are you producing? Are you happy with your finances? This is the hard stuff, right? Get out of neutral. Crunch the gears. Find the people, the circumstances, the environments that are going to stretch you. Think about that. Where are they? Think about it now, right as I'm talking to you. Who are the people that are already doing something at a higher level than you? And the minute you think about contacting them, you'll freak out and fear will go, oh my gosh, because your brain is a liar. Your brain is a miserable, whining, lying thing that wants to protect your butt and keep it on the couch eating donuts for as long as humanly possible. So when you feel afraid, they often say, fear ramps up the closer you get to breakthrough. Yeah, I'll say that again. Fear ramps up the closer you get to breakthrough. So pick up the phone, send that email, reach out to somebody who you admire, who's already doing stuff that you want to be doing. and get yourself beyond that point of fatigue and distress into the reserve tank. And once you hit that reserve tank once, you'll have context and you'll be able to do it again and again and again. So end of sermon, end message, summary. It's not what happens to you in life, the objective reality. It's how you think about it. And you do have power there. Second, thanks to Jesse Itzler and William James, we're talking about the reserve tank and pushing yourself beyond the fatigue, the realms of extreme fatigue and distress. Medical disclaimer, see a doctor if you're going to run the Boston Marathon tomorrow, but you get the point. So I hope it's been useful to you. Reach out to me. I take a small number of coaching clients. If you want to do personal coaching over Skype anywhere in the world with me, get in touch. We can talk about that. If you want me to come and speak at your conference, your school, your church, your business, I would just love to come to where you work, where you reach people, and just shape a message and just bring some encouragement, some passion, some motivation to whatever it is that you're doing. So get in touch with me if you'd love me to come and speak at your event. I'd love to do that. This year, 2016, I'm going to be back on the road and be speaking more. I'm really excited to be speaking in Los Angeles in a few weeks. So if you want to follow that, come across to Instagram or Twitter. You can find me at Jonathan Doyle Co. I'll put the links here, but come across and just check out the journey. I'll post some photos of the Harley. It's exciting times, people. The dreams are coming together, and I hope yours are too. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This is the Weekly Podcast. Share it with people, but get out there and live your purpose. Chase your dreams because they are possible, and I'll be speaking with you again next week.